Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Abdul Rahman, and you're listening to the Heartwork series on the Qadam podcast. Heartwork is a weekly session at the Roots Community Space in Dallas, Texas, where young professionals come together and discuss ideas and concepts on how to grow in their religious practice and their relationship with Allah. This particular series is called The Messenger, where the focus of the discussions will be on lessons from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you enjoy and appreciate these sessions and these series, then please consider becoming a sustainer of the Roots Community Space by going to rootsdfw.org/sustain. We really appreciate your contribution, we appreciate your prayers, and we appreciate you listening to the programming that we put out. Jazakumullah khairan, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome everybody, alhamdulillah, to our second session of our Heartwork series. This new series, alhamdulillah, which focuses on the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, and lessons that we can take from his life for the young professional slash millennial experience, which many of us, alhamdulillah, are a part of. Just a reminder, obviously, alhamdulillah, if this is your first time at Roots, how many of you, it's your first time at Roots? Raise your hand. Okay, mashallah, cool, awesome, alhamdulillah, welcome. So it's not always like this. Sometimes it is crowded, but other times it's not. And so there's many, many different events that happen throughout the week, I think quite literally probably every day. And Roots is a community space that caters to all the different demographics. So tonight's demographic, the Monday night Heartwork demographic, is 22 and up for those people who have graduated from undergrad, have entered into the workforce, or maybe grad school, and they're balancing, you know, maybe school and work, or what they might be doing, but just for that experience, because post MSA in universities, there's like a post MSA burnout where there's like no resources for the early mid 20s / early 30s Muslims to really have that sense of community, right? There's kind of this big gap that exists between MSA and driving a Toyota Camry to the masjid for Isha every night, right? Which I'm not hating on. I drove a Camry out of college, so I just kind of skipped millennial that age bracket. I just went straight into unclehood. And it's nice. It's comfortable. But anyway, so alhamdulillah, just a reminder to everybody that if you do check your ID and find yourself not being of the 22 and above age bracket, and you're not part of staff, there are some of you who are here because you're part of staff. Your job is to help clean up, facilitate, maintain. But if you're not part of that staff, then we do ask, inshallah, that you head on over to the Roots Instagram page and check out and see which program is for you. Why? Not because we don't love you, we love everybody here, but because space is at a premium. And want to make sure that everybody who is from the Heartwork demographic, the 22 and up, that they have a space to sit, inshallah, as much as possible. May Allah reward you, inshallah. May he give us a bigger space in the near future. I mean, okay, well, that was emotional. Everyone's like, I mean, crying. All right, so last week, alhamdulillah, we began the journey of the conversation of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were some interesting, mashallah, and very interesting, I don't mean that in a bad way, I mean that in a good way. There were some really interesting reflections about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to you, right? So we did this like opening activity. And today I want to start with another opening activity for the next 5 minutes, inshallah. But before we do this opening activity, I want everyone to kind of raise their hand and share, what are some things that you thought were interesting from last week's session? What are some things that stuck with you? Maybe not things that I said, maybe something that someone else said. Most likely it's something someone else said, because they're more interesting than I am. But what are some things that you heard last week, if you were here or if you watched online, and now you're here today, that was interesting to you? It kind of like gave you different insight about this person, Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Anybody? Yes, thank you. I was like nervous.
I really like that when you said, whenever someone asks about your story, that you never really think about starting with your grandparents.
Mm. Why is that important to you?
Because that did kind of, you do realize that in different, like, sudas, that it always starts with the ancestry.
Yeah.
And that related to me is why I am who I am, and like my parents are, because of the grandparents, their parents, and their parents. So it's very relatable.
MashaAllah. So the brother said that the one of the points that we made last week was that when you start with a biography, like your own, if I asked you, who are you? Many of us would start with like our current life, right? We would just begin with what we do. And then some of us maybe would be insightful enough to go back to our younger years. And some of us would be even more insightful to go back to like our birth. And then some of us would be even more insightful to go beyond us, right? Meaning that your origin is not you. The legacy that you're a part of began much before you. And there is this culture, a little bit of a culture of societal narcissism, which encourages us to consider ourselves to be self-made, that we are who we are because of us. The problem is that that philosophy or that notion, it deflates any humility a person can feel. Because if I am who I am because of me, then I have no one to thank. I have no one to look up to. I have no one to respect. I have no one to give that reverence to as a person who gave me what I had to establish myself. Like, if you think about it, anything that you have, anything that you've become is because of something or somebody else. There were pathways that were given to you, opportunities that were presented to you that you actually had nothing to do with, that you actually had nothing to do with. In fact, many of us, and I see a lot of us nodding our heads, and I know this because I've talked to a lot of y'all, you know, personally after sessions, that there are moments where you kind of have this introspective moment on a Monday night and you come and share with me and you say that, like, you very much believe that God Almighty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up a door for you that maybe you weren't even qualified for. Like, you kind of snuck through, right? And for a lot of us, the more that we have that realization, the more we understand. And the beginning realization for that for us is, who are you? Where did you come from? Where's your origin? Even potentially negative origins, things that we think about as not being things that we're proud of, but that experience helped shape you. You learned from it. You grew from it, right? Okay, very good. Beautiful, mashallah. Anyone else? Something that you heard last week that really resonated. Yeah.
I kind of like the question, who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us? Mm-hmm. That's something we never really stop to think about, and we kind of take his life for granted to some degree. And so hearing everyone's perspective was really nice too.
Yeah, beautiful. That was my favorite part personally, was hearing everyone's like personal, you know, nickname for him, right? The messenger, the friend, the big brother. Kind of like, how do you relate to this person historically? Because history is its own unit of time, right? Time is its own unit of distance, right? Like, we feel distant from somebody because they're further away from us. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, as we're going to learn today, during this session, right, in the 500th, in 570 Common Era. And so we feel like those 1,500 plus years for us, or like 1,500 years or 1,400 plus years, is so far away that how can I relate to this person? But the reality that we learned from discussing last week is that if you just spend a little bit of time reflecting about what this person means to you, it doesn't matter how far away they were. Whether it's distance like in present day, like someone's far away from you now, like they live on the other side of the world, or whether it's distance via the unit of time, that someone lived far away from you in history. But when you reflect about them, it's almost as if you know them. And you actually see this. If any of you have ever met like historians who have a specific historical aspect of study or like field of study where they study like a certain era of time or a certain individual, and they actually start to feel like they almost have a relationship. I had a professor in college once. I got my degree in English, by the way, English education. So many of you probably hate me. English class, high school. And I remember my concentration was American poetry, American literature, and the concentration of poetry. So I had like a very deep relationship with Walt Whitman. My professor did, right? And there's Emily Dickinson. There's all these great poets. And one of my professors was like such a, I think they call them like Whitmanites or something. I forget. But there's like such a field of study that's so specific that he like felt like he like could talk to him. Right? You know, sometimes English professors are kind of weird. All right. So he's sorry if you're an English professor. Hannah, I don't know where you are. But sometimes they just feel, and that's true, right? There's such a emotional attachment. But you can't emotionally connect to somebody if you don't know them, if you don't think about them, if you don't reflect about them. Right? So it's just basic understanding. Okay? Very good. Last one, and then we'll continue, inshallah. Last point that anyone thought was, like, mashallah, insightful. Yeah.
And I think sometimes people try to find supplemental things, or whether it be in their diet, to substitute. So then, for example, spiritually, we see lessons that the Prophet had done.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most purest form, that I think you can get the lessons from him the best way. While that does not mean someone else may have done it, but I think his lesson, the way he did it, was like the best way.
MashaAllah. You need to tweet this. So it's preserved in history. Prophet ﷺ, his example is like water. It's the purest and best form. We try to supplement it with other things, electrolyte water, pH water, right? Pedialyte. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you got to go with that Gatorade, right? But that's the purest and best. And you know what's crazy about water? I'm going to add it to your metaphor. You're made up of it without even realizing it. So the Prophet ﷺ, the lessons that the Messenger of God, or these spiritual lessons that we're trying to derive from his life, we find them within us, already existing, but we're not cognizant of them. We're not recognizing of them, right? Until we recognize them, then we see how valuable they are to us, right? So you don't know how dehydrated you are until it hits, right? SubhanAllah, may Allah save us from that. So spiritual dehydration is a real thing. Very good, mashallah. All right, today's question, I want you guys, again, same thing. Talk to people around you, get to know one another. If there's somebody, you know, introduce your name, like, what's your name, what do you do? Or you don't have to talk about what you do because you just did that all day, right? But you can talk about who you are, right? You can kind of give that little brief intro. And today's question that I wanted to ask everybody is, what's the greatest sacrifice you've ever had to make? Stay shallow. What's the greatest sacrifice you have ever had to make? Okay, you have 5 minutes. It's 7:40. We're going to come back at 7:45. Start talking. All right, 2 minutes left. 2 minutes left. If you haven't spoken, try to match up with somebody. Okay, everybody. Alrighty. Let's bring it back, inshallah. I'm happy about the discussion. That's good. You can tell everyone sacrificed a lot. Mashallah. Yeah, I know. Alrighty. Bismillah. Alright, let's hear from everybody. Greatest thing. I heard a lot of different things, actually. I don't wanna spill the tea too early, but I heard a lot of different things. But you guys tell me, inshallah. What's one of the greatest sacrifices you ever had to make? Hopefully not too deep. You got the closet crew. They're cool. Let's just carry on. All right. Great sacrifice you ever had to make. Huh? Give me a specific. Give me an example. That's the greatest sacrifice that you've made? It is. Yeah. Give me a context to that. Like what? Like sacrificing time for what? For who? Not like that. Y'all are tripping. You can tell there's a room full of single people. I was like, ha ha. And like, who? Like family, friends.
Yeah.
Okay. How have you sacrificed time for family? Like, what makes you sacrifice time for family? Like? Okay. Okay. Very good. What else? Anyone else? Yeah. Oh, wow. Open up about that. Yeah. Yeah. Wearing the hijab. Yeah, there's a lot of elements of like being Muslim, especially the more visible elements, right? Hijab probably being one of the most, if not the most prominent visible element, regardless of gender. It is probably, in my opinion, the most visible element of being a Muslim, is wearing the hijab, right? So there's like the social side of it, which is like you don't know necessarily even what jobs you might be getting looked over for because of it. There's the personal side of it, which is just kind of like always being noticeable no matter where you are. Then there's like the emotional side of it, which is like your hair just might be looking great one day, right? And you're like, what do I do, right? Like one day, you know, it's yeah. My wife and I had the conversation a lot. She's like, it just looks so good right now. I'm like, I understand. But that's a struggle. That's a real struggle. Like, it is a struggle. Like, everyone wants to look good. Everybody likes to look good, right? And for a lot of us, the way in which we look, physically is a huge portion of maybe how we view ourselves, for better or for worse. And so sometimes in wearing the hijab, one of the key struggles is like, well, I can't, you know, adorn myself in the way that I would like. And some are able to, right? And they're able to negotiate that. May Allah Ta'ala give us all strength in our faith, no matter what level we're at or what we're practicing. I mean, Ya Rab. Yeah, good, good. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. Who moved here away from your family? Raise your hand if you don't live near family. Yeah, absolutely. That's huge. That's one of the greatest ones because you know what? Like, friends are really important and community is extremely important, but there are those quiet moments where family would fill that void, right? There are all those quiet moments. Even something as simple as just like if you fall ill, like which one of your friends do you call to like come over? Like if you're like sick, which one of your friends are going to be there to like help you out? And sometimes you just feel a little bit of sort of maybe takalluf or formality with somebody that you don't want to impose, right? Can you come to help, you know, can you give me some medicine or run to Walgreens for me? And so family is a huge blessing in that regard. Absolutely. So that's a huge sacrifice. Anyone else? Big sacrifice. Yeah. Just casually, by the way. Yeah. Vienna, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like business field, mm. then you immediately think of the other virtues, which is your family, your religion, and all that being around you, it helps you to stay on track, other than just being by yourself, even if you can succeed in like business life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Career versus everything. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about that at the very end. Very good. How many of you have had to sacrifice something personal, your own ethics or your virtue, or forget even like those moral sacrifices? How many of you have had to sacrifice something very dear to you for your career? Maybe there was a better opportunity. I know a lot of you said already moving, right? But maybe for some of you, like, you sacrifice your career for your family's career, like your spouse's career. That's a big one as well. Or you sacrificed your career for family or whatnot. So there's all these sacrifices that are happening, and these are major things. You're going to see, especially in this demographic, there's major sacrifices that are happening. What's interesting, subhanAllah, about the concept of sacrifice is that it never had like a starting point, like a definite starting point, besides obviously the initiation of time itself, and it never will end, meaning that you're always going to be asked to make these hard decisions and questions. You're always going to have these choices ahead of you, these like forks in the road. And oftentimes what happens is, in order for us to find comfort when we're faced with a difficult scenario where there's either A or B or one or two, however you want to, you know, describe it, we oftentimes tell ourselves that once I've made this choice, then I'll be free from this anxiety. Like, I'll be done. Like, I won't have to do this anymore. But then, subhanAllah, life has its way of throwing new tests in front of us. So it's almost like this never-ending flow chart of just choices. That you have one, it's like a, you know, we'll choose your own adventure story. Like, you have one choice, you make it, you think that you're done, your anxiety, your nervousness, your you know, the hesitation about what to choose and the uncertainty, all of that, you think that, okay, I've finalized it, I've completed, I'm going to move on. And then all that happens next is that you get another decision. That's exactly what happened in this story of Ibrahim. When we're covering the story of Ibrahim, alayhissalam, Prophet Ibrahim, you have here, he's been put through this test, this difficulty. And the reason why I've titled this The Sacrifice is because we talked about one of the things that he wanted desperately was a child. Very good, right? So he actually, Ibrahim alayhissalam, has a very interesting story. We're not going to go into the whole backstory, but he was a messenger of God, and messengers of God historically were opposed by their people. Why? Because generally, messengers of God, what do they call us to? What do messengers of God call us to? Huh? Thank you. God, right? A plus in Sunday school. All right, but not roots, okay? What do they call us to? Like, what do they want us to do? Okay, thank you. She's like, I got it. I know exactly where this is going. No. Yes, sacrifice. But what? What does religion call you to do? Change. Change what? Change you. Religion calls you to change yourself from an area of comfort, initially, into an area of discomfort. So Ramadan comes, and religion says, stop eating. Right? The messenger of Allah says, God says, stop eating. And for you, you're like, but I'm comfortable when I can eat. Like, how am I supposed to focus at work? How am I supposed to take my exams? How am I supposed to pass my boards? How am I supposed to do this, this, this? And it's like, no, stop eating. Okay, stop drinking. What? Even water? Yes, even water, right? And then the optional prayers at night. I mean, there's all these examples. There's all these opportunities for us. And messengers of God tell us to what? Redirect towards something else. Now, it's not discomfort for the sake of discomfort, but it just so happens that things that make us better, things that make us more virtuous, are sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. And the reason why I said initially is because over time, the goal is that we train ourselves to actually become understanding and to appreciate that which is uncomfortable. And in that appreciation, what's uncomfortable becomes comfortable. So whatever God has asked me to do, like to wake up to pray before dawn, or before, I'm sorry, sunrise, after the dawn time, that's not comfortable. No one on earth that I've ever met has been like, that is the most comfortable part of my day, Fajr prayer. Like, nobody. But there is a sweetness, and you tell me, there's a sweetness to Fajr prayer that cannot be replicated. There's a sweetness to the day at that time that cannot be replicated. That's why if you ever go out, if you ever like have like a really early shift or a really early flight, and you're driving, right, and you see there's like people running at that time, and you're like, what are you doing? Crazy people, like, what's going on? You're like, it's still night from night, right? It's still dark from the night. It's not yet dark from today. It's like, and there, Why? Because there's a certain sweetness. You see some people maybe who are successful in your life or at your company, maybe they choose to go to work a little bit earlier. Maybe they can focus better at that time. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma barik fi ummati fi bukuriha. May God... That was quick. All right. He said, may God bless my community in their early morning hours, right? So the idea is that it's uncomfortable, but once you get used to it, it becomes comfortable. And it becomes comfortable because you realize the benefit that awaits you there, okay? So in the story of sacrifice, Ibrahim alayhi salam went through a very interesting time in his life. Ibrahim was deterred or repelled by his people to the point where they actually wanted to kill him. So they gathered this massive pit of fire together. And their goal was to throw him into this pit of fire. And they did. And there's a story in the Quran which teaches us that when Ibrahim alayhi salam is catapulted into this flame because his community had just kind of become fed up with him, right? They throw him into this flame to execute him. God actually makes the flame, the fire, not harmful for him. In fact, God says that he makes the fire cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. Right, so this is one of the miracles that occurs in the Quran to Prophet Abraham. Now, after this, like, this is an interesting part of the story. What do you think would happen to you in your community if your community tried to execute you and you survived? Like, you walked out. Yeah, they would call you a witch, right? But they know he's a prophet. So he's like, oh, man, he was right. You know, like, he does have God's protection. You walk out of the fire and everyone just looks at each other and they're like, you can't go back to living with those people, right? So he actually tells them in one of the chapters in the Quran, he says to them, like, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, I'm not wanted by you people. I'm going to leave. One of the interesting things about stories of prophets, subhanAllah, when you humanize them, has anyone in this room ever felt not wanted? Ever? All right. There's like happy or nodding, happy or crying, right? So that makes all of us. We've all felt unwanted at some point. It could have been like institutionally, like you didn't get in, you didn't get the job. It could have been socially. It could have been personally. It could have been your family, right? And I crack a joke to kind of like ease the tension because the reality is that everyone in their life has experienced the feeling of rejection. Everybody. And Allah, God Almighty, through His wisdom, made it so that prophets would feel this too. Prophets, the chosen people of God, they felt this rejection. In fact, it's kind of what defined them. They all got rejected, some by their family, a lot by their family, all by their community, right? And they're looked down upon by these people, and they're not trying to do anything that harms them. They're just trying to help them. So Ibrahim decides he's going to leave, and he goes back to his family. And he goes back to what we said last week, he goes back to Mecca. So basically in between having his son, leaving his family, the trust that Hajar alayhi salam had to show in those moments. And then he goes back now to his family in Mecca and he spends time with his family. And God, you know, carries out or fulfills his prayer of having a son. And now the Quran flashes forward because the Quran is not a book of history, it's a book of guidance. And so sometimes it'll utilize different historical moments to guide us. So in between having his son, Ismail, and what's going to happen next, there were some years. And you can imagine because God says, and so when Ibrahim, after leaving his community that rejected him, he prayed to Allah and said, oh Allah, give me a son. And then God says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. We gave him the news that he's going to have not just a boy, not just a child, but a halim child, like a child that is, I know the Desis are like, halim, like no. Halim. Halim is like a Desi dish. Halim means like full of hilm. Hilm is like the characteristic of, people say patience, perseverance, but it's like you have so much like stability in yourself that you're just a pleasure to be around. Like you're never rattled. Halim means like this person can handle anything that comes at them. They're just a good person, right? So this is the description of his child. Think about this, no temper tantrums, right? Why? Because he's Halim, just a good kid, right? No pouting, just a good kid. You know, you meet those kids sometimes, you're just like, you are amazing, right? And you ask the parents, what did you do? And then like their grandma's like, I prayed for them. They didn't do anything, right? Which is what my mom says about all of her grandkids. Like, it's not the parents, it's me. I prayed for them, okay? So he makes dua for a child. Allah gives him a child, bi ghulam al Halim. Okay, a sweet-tempered son. And then Allah describes and says, And then when his son was old enough to work with him, when his son was old enough to what? To work with him, meaning that they had formed a bond that had some relationships. And, you know, like this is just the nature of the father-child relationship or the mother-child relationship. There are those in-between moments. Like last night I was trying to get Musa to recite some Quran with me, and it was just like, it was the most blasphemous thing ever. If you're following me on Instagram, I apologize if you're offended. So what I do is I say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّنْ, and then he says, Nas. Obviously, it's easy words, so he repeats it over and over again in the surah. So I said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّنْ, and he goes, Nas, bah! And he just starts laughing. And I'm like, man, this surah is actually really serious, number one. Number two, it's Quran. I don't know how to feel about this, but I just broke down because he just thinks it's the funniest thing. And then like I stop, and he's like, say Nas, Baba, say Nas, right? Because he wants to recite Surah Nas. But those moments are like, when he fell asleep, I just looked at him and I was like, I love this kid, right? Like, I love this kid. Like, those are the moments. Like, it's not something special. It's not something like, you know, in the sense that it's not like a grand, like, oh, there's no birthday party. It's not like this, not graduate. But it's like those moments, right? Those little moments. Like this morning, I gave him lemonade a couple days ago and he said, it's sour. It's too sour to drink, right? And my wife and I just looked at each other cracking up, right? Not like a crazy moment. He didn't get like an A on an exam, but it's just those moments. So Ibrahim alayhi salam now with his son is having those moments with his son. And Hajar is having those moments with her son. And then Allah sends down a very interesting command, very interesting request, where he says, Ibrahim goes to sleep one night and then he wakes up. And one of the things about prophets that you learn when you read the Quran and you read the Islamic literature is that prophets can receive revelation from God in numerous ways. Angel Jibreel can come to them. Other angels can come to them. They can be given inspiration, revelation through inspiration just on their own or in dreams. So dreams are one of the ways. The Prophet ﷺ said that when prophets have dreams, they are true. Meaning that what? They're not coming from like the subconscious. They're not coming from, you know, you ate too much red meat or drank too much milk. You know, you have weird dreams. Your parents are like, no, eat this, right? Have turmeric, have honey. But for prophets, it was legit. It was the real deal. It was revelation. So he wakes up and he had a very frightful dream. He said, what? Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka. He tells his son Ismail, this is the son that they had those moments. Remember now, it's not easy. He's not just walking up to him saying like, hey, listen, God gave me a mission to do. He comes to him and I want you to imagine, you can hear the trembling in his voice. He says, he's not telling him what he has to do. He's telling him what happened. You know when you do that, you don't tell the person what you actually have to say. You're like, well, this is what happened. I went to there. And why? Because you're feeling anxious yourself. So Ibrahim goes to his son. And he says, I went to sleep last night and I saw in my dream that I have to sacrifice you. I have to slaughter you. And I want you just to imagine how long those few seconds took for him to process. And this is, subhanAllah, right after Ibrahim did the right thing. He already went through a major test. What was his test with his community? What was his test with his community? They wanted to what him? Execute him. They wanted to toss him into a pit of fire. They did. And then he leaves. So he feels rejected, dejected, alone. Let me go to my family. He goes back to his family. And now God tells him, your son, the one that you prayed for. You prayed for this son. And he tells his son, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Tell me what you think. I can't even, dude, before I had a kid, I used to tell the story and I was like, yeah, wow. Now I'm like, I'm giving goosebumps. I can't even think about it properly. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Tell me what you think. Because he wants his son to know that even though God gave me this command, our relationship is still important to me. And I want to know what you think. Lesson number one from this story. Your tests will never end. Your tests will never end. And that doesn't mean that God's upset with you, because this is a prophet. God's not upset with prophets. This is just the nature of this life. You hit one bump, you get over it, and you think to yourself, smooth sailing. Nope. Another bump is coming. Why? Because with each test, your soul gets refined more and more and more, like a filtration process, until eventually at the end of there is sincerity for no one but God. Ibrahim relied upon his community for comfort. They threw him out. And then he says, you know what? Forget you guys. I don't need you anymore. I'm going to go back to my family. And God says, not so fast. Who are you going to find comfort in? This isn't God saying to heck with your family. No, but he's saying that the only one that you can actually rely upon, the only one that can bear your entire burden is Allah. No one else can. Not even your family. even if they want to. Like, I want to bear your burden, but I can't, even if I'm part of your family. So he goes to his son and he says this. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is what his son says back. How many of you have ever been in a really difficult spot, but there was almost like this angelic person in your life that relieved the pressure from that test? Anybody? Can you recall, like, you've been in a really difficult situation in life and just one of your friends or family or somebody seemingly out of nowhere just like helped out in a way that you were like, there was no way I would have ever made it through that without you. Can anyone share without getting too real? Yeah, go ahead. Someone had nowhere to live, homeless. 4 months. 4 months. That's a third of the year, dude. 4 months. And a friend says, you need help? I got you. Anyone else? We're not going to try to top anybody here, okay? So everyone's like, yeah, you were homeless? Like, 4 months? 5 months, right? This isn't the price. Price is right. 4 months in one day. It's like, no. Right? But, and we're not comparing, but just to understand that everyone's had those moments. Yeah. Go ahead. You had your hand raised? Subhanallah. No questions asked. Just come on. Ahlan, ahlan, right? That's beautiful. Someone went through a divorce. Divorce is something that's very, it's part of life. It's part of life. Some marriages last until the end. Some marriages, their conclusion is a little bit earlier, right? Doesn't mean anything bad about one or two people, right? So the divorce happened. May Allah Ta'ala give happiness to all people who are going through divorce or have been divorced. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And after divorce, probably one of the most confusing times of a person's life, not sure where they're going to go, what they're going to figure out. And what do you want more than anything at that moment is stability. And you go to your family and they say, come on, right? No questions asked, come stay with me, right? Beautiful. What would you have done without that person? What would you have done without that friend? Anyone else? Anyone else? Go for it, yeah. Amazing. MashaAllah. No work. Friend says, not only am I going to find you a job, you can be my roommate, right? Because the friend's like, I got to split rent with somebody. So, no, I'm joking. Right? He's like, come in, be my roommate, right? He's like, the only bad thing is it's San Antonio. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. MashaAllah, right? And you're like, who are you? And you know what's crazy? SubhanAllah, I hear these stories more and more, especially from when I hang around elders. When I hang around a lot of elders and I listen to their stories, there's always that one person who they were put in this like seemingly unsolvable situation in their life. And they're like, and then I had this one friend that I met who did XYZ thing for me and never asked. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. They never wanted any reward, any thanks. They just did it, right? There are people in your life that when you are put in situations where you are asked to sacrifice or work or do something that is beyond your capacity seemingly, that they will be the Ismail for you. Why? What does Ismail say? Ismail says, Ya abati if'al ma tu'mar. His dad, seemingly with tears welling up in his eyes, tells his beloved baby boy, I have to end this relationship. It's not about ending a life. It's about ending this relationship. I prayed for you. I cherished you. I came back. You were my comfort. After everyone left me, you were my comfort. And now God is telling me that I have to end this relationship with you. His son doesn't say, Dad, you're crazy. Can we negotiate? Right? You're Khalilullah, you're the friend of God. Friends do things for friends. Like, come on, man. He doesn't do any of that. You know what he says? Dad, do whatever you've been commanded. Satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin. You will find me amongst those who can be patient. Whenever you're in a situation in life, you're going to find people who can either make your life more difficult or you're going to find people who can be Ismail. Likewise, you're going to have people in your life that are going through very difficult times. You can either make their life more difficult or you can be their Ismail. How many of us are going to be the person that when there's somebody around us that's going through it, that we're either going to say, that sucks, or we're just going to pile it on? What did you do to get in this situation? Well, if only you did it this way, if only you did this, as opposed to saying, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. What does Ismail say to his dad? I'm here for you. I'm here with you. To forget the request for a moment.
I'm here with you is what he was saying. The lesson from this story, subhanAllah, how many times are we going to be able to be the person that gives a friend a spot to live, that gives a friend a job, that is that sibling that says, no questions asked, I don't want to know what happened, just come, you're safe with us, you're happy with us. These are what we learn from these stories of prophets. So he goes and he takes his son, and the narrations say, some of the hadith narrations, they describe what happens, that Ibrahim takes Ismail, and some of the narrations actually say that he went so far as to not only, the Quran says that he laid him down and he turned his face, meaning that he was going to sacrifice him, if you've ever seen like an animal be sacrificed, and he took the blade, and Ibn Kathir actually says that he didn't only put the blade on his neck, but he actually ran the blade. He actually ran it. And then Ibn Kathir says, but the blade did not cut. Now I know a lot of us are like, physics, okay? Like, that's not possible, okay? Like, I read it. Neil deGrasse Tyson told me that religion is all a bunch of hocus pocus. Like, no. God invented physics. God can decide when knives cut or don't, okay? There are a lot of times where things happen where we think, or we estimate that something's going to occur and it doesn't, okay? Just because it's not as miraculous as this doesn't mean that it's not God in his work, okay? So Ibrahim alayhi salam actually fulfilled it. What happens when he does that? God says, God calls out to Abraham at that moment and says, O Abraham, you have fulfilled the dream. You fulfilled your job, your dream. This was a clear test for you. And we ransomed you, we ransomed your son, we will trade with a bigger sacrifice. So he sent down like an animal that was to be sacrificed. And for we left from him among generations in later times, meaning that this was a lesson for all generations to come to follow. And then Allah finishes that verse with the phrase, the proclamation, Salamun ala Ibrahim, peace be upon Abraham. Why was Ibrahim alayhi salam so praised in this moment? Why was he praised? Because he was asked to sacrifice something great for Allah. He was asked to do it. This is one of those key moments where we have to reflect internally. In your corporate life, in your family life, in your personal life, you're going to come to a lot of forks in the road. And oftentimes, if you look far enough down the path that you're looking down, at the end of one of them, you're going to see you closer to Allah. And the end of other, you're going to see what? You what? Further away. And along the one that leaves you further away to Allah, there's going to be higher salaries. There's going to be Southern California. Right? No, I'm joking. Nicer places to live. There's going to be perks. There's going to be more PTO. There's going to be this, that. You name it. And at the one that leaves you closer to Allah, like close, there might be thorns and difficulty and tests and requests and what? Denton. And Denton, right? It might pass by Denton, okay? See, this is happening. I like it. It's going to be a shirt. It's going to be a Roots shirt. Denton, right? It's a joke for those of you your first time, all right? These are the moments where you have to have the foresight to look down these paths and make the decision not by what's right in front of you, but why, what? What's at the end of it? That's what these stories are teaching us. Ibrahim had to look far enough. It wasn't about losing his son, but it was about gaining Allah. It wasn't about losing even his son. It was about gaining a relationship with Allah. And when he proved himself, this is the beauty of it. When you prove your sincerity to God, number one, the test becomes... When you pass it, it's over. Think about like the hardest test you've taken in your career, in your academic career. You study, 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 then you pass, and what happens to all of that stress? It goes away as if it never existed. Like you look in your pantry, you're like, why do I have so many Oreos and Doritos? Because you were stressed. Why are there so many ice cream bowls in my sink? Because you were stressed. But the minute you turn it in, what happens? How do you feel when you're walking out of that exam room, taking a certification? You feel what? You feel light, exactly. You feel relieved, as if it never occurred. That's what happens when you're sincere in your test. You're sincere in your test, all that came with it, all the weight, all the baggage, the ball and chain, it falls apart. And not only that, but you're given better than what you would have lost in the first place. Ibrahim decides to pass the test. He doesn't negotiate. He doesn't do any of that. Now, the beautiful part about our tests is that I hope none of y'all are having dreams like this, right? You go to your friend or your family, you're like, listen, I saw something, right? Remember, you're not a prophet. Those dreams are, you probably did have too much milk or red meat or something, okay? You got to fast for a couple days. But all of our tests are going to ask us to sacrifice something, and that thing, usually, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Like, it's just going to be something that's going to define. It's going to make you. But in those moments, that sacrifice is necessary. And at the end of it, as Allah says, He will give you an even greater ransom. You'll have something. What you will become after that will be greater than what you were before it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us that. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. We're going to end and conclude now. So we ask God Almighty to allow us to learn from this lesson of Abraham. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to sacrifice and to give us the ability to withstand all the tests that are being thrown at us. We ask God Almighty to make us people that don't think twice when we're asked to give, but that we can be committed and sincere to our faith and committed and sincere to Allah, to God Almighty, in a way that is proven time and time again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to test us more than we can handle and to give us the courage and strength to conquer any test that stands before us currently, as of now, or in the future. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Thank you, everybody, for coming through. Appreciate it. Much love. Love you all for the sake of Allah. I'll see you guys